Do you remember Carol Channing? When you hear her name, what comes to mind? Perhaps two things: her unique quality of voice, and maybe a specific song, "Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend." Now, I'm not a blingy guy. I wear one ring, my wedding ring, and I am very glad that Gigi doesn't sing along with Carol Channing when we're approaching our anniversary. But I will admit, diamonds are beautiful. They're beautiful not because they're monolithic, but because they're multifaceted. When you look at a diamond, you turn it, you rotate it, admiring how it picks up light and colors with every turn and angle. The beauty of a diamond is found in its nuance. The gospel stories of Jesus' resurrection appearances create for us a beautiful, multifaceted, nuanced picture of faith in Jesus. We often treat faith as something elementary and monolithic. We say, well, just have faith. Believe in God. Have faith. As if it's simply some static commodity that you have or don't have. The Bible presents faith as far more beautifully nuanced, like a diamond. And it is its nuance that makes faith both accessible, desirable, and frankly, life-shapingly beautiful. In our gospel reading, we hear the familiar story of what we call the walk to Emmaus. We meet two guys. We're given the name of one, Cleopas. Both men clearly had been followers of Jesus. Luke presents a wonderful portrait of them. They are sad, dejected, disillusioned, bewildered, confused, because of, quote, all these things that had happened, unquote. These things they refer to are the arrest, trial, condemnation, and crucifixion of Jesus. But also, we discover in verse 21, besides all this, it is now, they say, the third day since these things took place. Some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Let me ask you a question. At that moment, did these men have faith? I mean, listen to their own voices as they tell their story of following Jesus. This is found in Luke 24, verses 19 through 21. They say, Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. In other words, they're saying we had hoped and thought he was the Messiah. Doesn't that express some valid, real nuance of faith in Jesus? It may not be the fullness of a robust faith. There's more for them to experience and lay hold of, but it is, from my perspective, genuine faith. Their faith at that moment was looking, though, at one facet of the diamond and thinking it was the full diamond. They had a preconceived expectation of what Messiah meant, and that expectation had confusingly not been met. And now they're dejected, as their expectations have not been fulfilled, but also perplexed at the news they've received, which suggests to them, maybe this Jesus story isn't over. Maybe there's more to Jesus, more to following Jesus, more to faith in Jesus. And now in the story, Jesus joins them on their walk to Emmaus. He asks them about their conversation. What are you guys discussing with each other? After listening to them, Jesus says to them in verse 25, oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Man, I'm telling you, I would have loved to have been a part of that Bible study. Now, you remember the end of the story, right? They invite Jesus to stay with them for dinner. There's the breaking of the bread. Their eyes are open. They see that it is the risen Jesus, and he vanishes from their sight. Then, when you read the rest of that story, they immediately head back to Jerusalem at night, which was a risky thing to do on their part. But they had amazing news to share. They had a story to tell. They had life-transforming news to share with others. They find the disciples and tell them what had happened, confirming the stories of other witnesses that Jesus is alive. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. But friends, perhaps the most compelling, tantalizing statement is what the two men say to each other after they saw Jesus. Listen to their words. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was opening the scriptures to us? That's from Luke 24, verse 32. Their faith arrived at a new place. Their faith was bigger, more robust. The diamond of faith in Christ was no longer a single facet, but now had multiple facets and beautiful facets, and set their hearts ablaze. Interesting that they said their hearts and not their minds. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that faith is a mental agreement with specific beliefs, statements, precepts, or creeds. Now, please hear me. I am a follower of Jesus who is also a United Methodist. We have our articles of religion, our doctrinal statements, and we are a creedal denomination uniting with Christians across history and in the world in proclaiming and affirming the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. But faith in Jesus is more than a blazing mind of agreement with statements of faith. The mind and what we believe are very, very important. Doctrines and creeds provide a necessary skeletal support structure for Christian faith. But encountering God at a deeper level, a personal level, Jesus coming to me and me coming to Jesus, the formation and beginning of lifelong dynamic relationship is the flesh and spirit that bring life to that skeleton of doctrine and creed. This is part of who we are as United Methodist followers of Jesus. The founders of the Methodist movement, Charles and John Wesley, were ordained priests in the Church of England. They had all the necessary skeletal structure of schooling, degrees, and ordinations. They even grew up in a home where Dad was a pastor and Mom led Bible studies. They believed in God. They affirmed the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the historical creeds of the church, but their faith was like a single facet of a diamond. God, in his great mercy, sought to meet John and Charles on their own Emmaus-like journey to expand their limited faith. Listen to their stories. In May 1738, Charles Wesley fell ill and was concerned for his survival. Lying in bed day after day, he focused on his spiritual well-being. If this illness were to take his life, was he ready to die? He prayed, studied, and spoke to friends who prayed for him to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. At about the same time, John Wesley, his brother, was having conversations with a well-respected Moravian named Peter Bowler. Bowler was teaching Wesley about Moravian Christian spirituality, which included the belief that Christians have an assurance of faith experienced as love, peace, and joy. Those emotions were in short supply for each of the Wesley brothers at that time. Between conversations, John pored through the Bible for evidence of Bowler's claims. On Pentecost Sunday, May 21st, 1738, something amazing happened. Between visits from his brother, his doctor, and those who were taking care of him, Charles had a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. In his journal entry for that day, he reports experiencing, quote, a strange palpitation of heart, unquote, that caused him to exclaim, quote, I believe, unquote. Several sentences later, he continues, quote, I now found myself at peace with God and rejoiced in hope of loving Christ, unquote. When John Wesley visited the next day, Charles shared what had happened for him, and together they prayed for John to have a similar experience. Charles writes in his journal, quote, I almost believed that the Holy Ghost was coming upon John, unquote. Now, later that week, John went very unwillingly to a Moravian Society meeting on Aldersgate Street in London, where his heart became, quote, strangely warmed, unquote. It was a moment for which John had prayed, studied, and prepared. In other words, he longed for it. Friends, for both Charles and John Wesley, their faith lives were completely altered, and the impact of their lives to help people come to faith in Christ and to grow in the fullness of that faith continues to this day, literally all around the world. Now, I got to tell you, I am drawn to their story because it is much like mine. I was born into a churched family. My parents were faithful in worship, Sunday school groups, Dad sang in the choir, and Mom even worked a stint as the Christian education director. As these rhythms of faith were played out, they gave form to my life, a moral compass, a system of beliefs. I affirmed the Apostles' Creed. Christmas was about God incarnate in Jesus. Good Friday was all about the death of Christ for the sins of the world. Easter was all about his resurrection. My mind embraced these. I had faith. And yet, at another important level, God was not overly relevant. My faith was more of a mental head thing. God was the nice grandfather who lived in California, or for Michiganders, Copper Harbor. God was a nice guy, but really far away. But in high school, kind of like the Wesley brothers, I began to yearn for something more. With the help of some wonderful Christians, over time, just as the Wesley brothers had, I began to see that my faith was narrow, a single-faceted diamond. I heard about the beauty of the multifaceted faith diamond. Like the Wesleys, I was drawn to this deeper encounter with the living Jesus. Now, while the Wesleys could point to a specific day and what we might consider a more dramatic faith awakening, I awoke more slowly, but the bottom line is I awoke, and like the Wesleys and the two men on the road to Emmaus, my heart blazed with a faith more profound, beautiful, and holistic. No longer a head faith, but a faith that owned my whole being, my whole life, my mind, body, spirit, my past, my present, and my future. I awakened to a relationship with the risen Jesus more beautiful and life-transforming than I had ever imagined. The Emmaus story, along with many others throughout the Bible, tell us that faith is essentially highly relational. Faith is a relationship of love with God, with Jesus. And like any loving relationship, this faith is dynamic. It's multifaceted. It's bigger than you can imagine, and it grows. My love for Gigi is not the same as it was in 1986 when we got married. It has grown higher and deeper, more profound, more complex. It's more beautiful, It's more mature and seasoned because we have journeyed together through joys and pains, hopes and fears, through life, and we are still growing in our love for one another. And we can still say that our hearts blaze for each other. And so it is with the faith relationship with Jesus. So I want you to hear the good news for you and me. There is more to faith, deeper faith, higher faith. There is more relationship with Jesus still available for you and me. Our hearts can burn within us and burn even more. So how about it? Do you identify with these two guys as they sulked along the road to Emmaus? Like them, is your faith composed of tenets of the faith, doctrine you believe, creeds and a prayer that you routinely say? Is your faith closer to a list of mental beliefs and ethics you can nod your head to? Or, like the Wesleys, has your heart been warmed, set ablaze as you awaken to more of the risen Jesus? I'd like to invite you to take a walk to Emmaus this week and in coming weeks. I invite you to intentionally welcome Jesus as he comes to walk with you and to open your life to the greater beauty and wonder of faith in Jesus, like the beauty and wonder of a many-faceted diamond that glimmers and sets your heart ablaze. There's more to the Christian faith relationship with Jesus, and he is waiting and wanting to meet you on your own road to Emmaus so that he can share it with you. Please join me as we pray. Lord God, like the guys on the road to Emmaus, my faith, our faith, can be sluggish and limited. I can create my own God box with right beliefs, affirmations, and ethics, all very good things, but miss the deeper beauty of relationship with you. Jesus, I need you to set not just my mind ablaze, but my heart and life as well. You invite me to deeper experiences of your risen presence, and I'm very grateful for that. So I pray, draw near to me as I step into this new week, this new Emmaus walking week. Jesus, meet me. Even if I don't recognize you at first, walk with me and open the eyes of my heart to the assurance of your loving and life-giving presence with me. In your name I pray. Amen and amen.